The root of many, many problems is arrogance. But what exactly is arrogance? And how do you deal with it? Both with yourself, if you're in an arrogant state, or with others. So many people think that arrogance is a result of overinflated ego. Someone has certain qualities and virtues, but they take themselves too seriously. And they become very pompous about it, condescending, and hence an arrogant attitude. But what is less focused on is that arrogance can actually be the result of the exact opposite, of insecurity, of a lack of self-esteem. And we cover it up with arrogance. Think of it. If people are secure, if this person is very secure about their position, why should they feel threatened by someone else? Why do they have to put them down? You know who you are, and you can coexist with anyone else. So to really deal and cope with arrogance and all the complications that it creates in relationships, in communication, interpersonal, intrapersonal, family, and so on, we need to get to the heart and soul of it, of what exactly is arrogance. So please join me. It's an important discussion. Is arrogance masking ignorance and insecurity? Hi, this is Simon Jacobson, and we'll be discussing, is arrogance masking ignorance and insecurity? This program is dedicated by Judy Kirk in honor of her daughter, Ayla Davida Batsheva Kirk, with gratitude to Hashem for her complete healing and blessings for success, health, and peace. When we try to understand problems, you know, there's the symptoms and there's the root. The symptoms are usually quite obvious. It's what you recognize, what you see, what meets the eye, the body language. The roots are far more complicated because they're beneath the surface. They may have been brewing for many years. So to really address an issue, you want to get to the root of it, not just to deal with the symptoms. Obviously, short-term and superficial issues, you can use a Band-Aid, a painkiller. But when you're dealing with more fundamental issues, it's critical to get to the root. The root of many, many problems is arrogance. Yes, that one word, arrogance. When a person is arrogant, it closes them off from being able to hear another person. So if they're wrong, they'll blame others. They won't allow themselves to be accountable. And I'm not diagnosing now arrogance. Is it in the category of narcissism? Is it in the category of selfishness? Obviously, there are many levels and variations of it. But I think everybody recognizes arrogance when it comes your way, especially in others. The question is whether you see it in yourself. But what exactly is the root of arrogance? If arrogance is indeed the source of so many problems, whether it's in communications and relationships, relationships, interfamilial relationships, spouses. There's a disagreement between spouses and one of them is arrogant, or both are arrogant for that matter. It's going to be very difficult to resolve the issue. If you think of it in a more global sense, the arrogance of nations, of leaders who dug in, and for whatever reason, their pride or their egos get in the way, and they can't make rational decisions. They end up hurting themselves and others. But arrogance itself, where does it come from? Is someone born arrogant? You know, you see newborn children. Well, newborn, you can't tell yet, but you look at young children. There usually is not any arrogance in a child. I mean, children have a certain possessiveness, but they'll usually learn these vices, sadly, from their parents, from adults around them, from older siblings, from school, from society. So where does it come from? Now, ostensibly, most people would answer, arrogance is a result of an overinflated ego. So a person has certain, let's say, qualities, a smart person, or successful in some other area, and which is great, but instead of having a humble attitude, they become arrogant about it. Look how I've succeeded, which turns into condescension, turns into being always right, not being blinded by your own success. So in other words, it's often linked with actual virtues. Someone actually has a quality. Now, we know there's arrogance of people have no quality at all in that area. They think they're smart. They think they're successful, and they may not be. So that, but it's still a delusional form of thinking something about themselves. But if you really start digging a little deeper, the question is this. If somebody's really secure about their qualities, about their virtues, about their strengths, why do they need to be arrogant? You really believe in what you have and you see your own strengths and you're confident in them. So why do you have to flaunt it? Why do you have to put someone else down? Why do you have to be so self-centered? Everybody understands we can make mistakes. The more secure the person, the more they're ready to acknowledge they made a mistake. It's part of being secure, part of growing. Okay, I learned. I apologize and I move on. So there has to be more than just the fact that a person has some quality that they're proud of. And here, it actually addresses, we end up looking into it and we realize that arrogance can actually be a result of the opposite, of insecurity, of ignorance. I remember, it was actually, I was traveling out of the country and I was going on a speaking tour. And I gave a talk, a lecture, and I can't remember what the topic was. It was a controversial topic. And afterwards, one of the people in the audience came over to me and began arguing with me about certain points, which is fine. I actually invite and welcome that, asking questions. But I realized it wouldn't be a two-minute conversation, so I suggested I'm here tomorrow as well. Why don't we make time? Maybe lunchtime. I'm happy to sit down with you. And he was insisting. He wants to talk. I said, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere. I think we need a little more time. And I saw he was very adamant and very argumentative, to be honest. Which again, if he's open to a conversation, I love it. That's how we grow. Anyway, finally he agreed. And we made a time at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the afternoon to meet. Meanwhile, I was speaking to someone that evening who knew him. And he's like a successful businessman in the community. And he's known to be somewhat arrogant, the way he put it to me. But the way he said it nonchalantly, I said to him, you know, we're going to meet tomorrow. He says, oh, already you're going to probably have, going to come to you with all his texts and he's going to give all kinds of proofs to negate and everything you've said to. So I said to him, you know him? Yeah, he says, and these were his words. It was nonchalant, but I never forget the expression he said. He hides his ignorance with his arrogance. That was his words. And it couldn't have been more apt. Not that we like to be judgmental, but that's what he shared with me. So when I met this fellow the next day, and I went in without any preconceived notions, we sit down, and yes, he brought books, and he marked them up, and he's going to show me that what I said contradicts this source and that source. He wasn't even listening. And I'm more than happy, as I say again, to hear if somebody has something to say. And the more I tried to explain, the more he was just showing, no, but here's the source and that source. To be frank, we're not in the same league. This is my life. I've been studying these texts for a long time. He just opened them up and is looking at them. And he has a right to do so. And I wasn't even trying to put him in his place or anything like that. But it was exactly as that fellow said. He hid his ignorance with his arrogance. And the more texts he brought, the more it demonstrated to me he doesn't know his texts. Again, nothing personal. Just pointing out how a person becomes all blustering with all kinds of seemingly overconfidence and so strong about his position, when actually it was just an ignorant little child and probably insecure as well. So often arrogance is just another way of people expressing insecurity. Except they're not going to, some people express it through cowering in fear, retreating, being passive or passive aggressive, being silent. That's one way. And you see clearly a person doesn't have any confidence in themselves. And others, the exact opposite. They come out charging and sounding all so secure and confident when the truth is a lot of deep insecurity within. I'm not suggesting that all arrogance comes from that, but every form of arrogance, I would say, has an element of that insecurity. And I don't want to put insecurity and ignorance in the same folder, but they have similarity. Some form of lacking something, and you try to compensate for it. It's like they say that the only people that can't afford to be quiet are thieves. You know, you meet someone who's guilty, who feels guilty, and you say hello. They don't just say hello. They start talking, and they're always talking. Because silence makes them very awkward and feeling, because they feel internally something's wrong. You often see that. I'm not saying everyone that's talkative is guilty. But guilty people usually cannot afford silence. It's too vulnerable. The same idea, that you often make a lot of noise when there's an issue or a problem. So when you think of it that way, then really, arrogance is an opportunity to dig deeper into the human psyche to try to understand what makes us tick. If a person was indeed very secure, they wouldn't have to resort to that. It reminds me of not exactly the same situation, but you know, they say porcupine. Porcupine has these sharp, sharp needles. Why? One of the reasons is because its underbelly is one of the most gentle, most tender, softest underbellies. So it needs needles to protect itself. In other words, the more sensitivity there is, sometimes you'll find the most aggression. It's a form of protection, which makes sense, especially in the animal kingdom. The question is whether humans need to use that. The fact is, if you grew up in a vulnerable environment where you've been hurt or abused or violated, so that trauma can create layers of defense mechanisms and armor to protect yourself. That's what we do. So while you're under threat, and when you're in a situation that is threatening, so obviously you're going to put up your armor. The question is, do you know how to take off your armor? I cannot tell you how many people I have personally met, counseled, and discussed. They said, it's difficult when I date. Now looking to find a romantic partner, to marry someone. I have a problem. I can't open up. I don't trust easily because I've been hurt. In other words, your armor is not letting you come out. So it's not just not letting anyone in. It's also not letting you express yourself. Because you can't be vulnerable in one direction. You can't expect someone to open up to you if you're not going to open to them to some extent. Some people do. So the point being is that our armor may be necessary in battle, but not when you're not in battle. There are times where you want to be vulnerable. And actually, true love is the celebration of vulnerability. And the same idea is applied here, that arrogance ends up becoming a weapon that we may use when we need to protect ourselves. I wouldn't even use the word arrogance. It's strength. It's a certain type of formidable power that you apply to protect yourself or to deal with a challenging situation. But if that remains with you and you maintain that arrogance becomes obviously something that works against you. So it's good to ask yourself that question. How vulnerable are you? How sensitive are you? There's nothing wrong with that. We're human beings. All of us have vulnerability and sensitivity. And what do you do about it? How do you respond to that when you feel that way? Do you put up that armor? Do you become more arrogant? Do you become louder, more aggressive? As I said, some people the opposite. They retreat. And they don't want to engage with others. So that type of fear or insecurity can take on many shapes. It can take the shape of imploding, inverting. It could also take the top of exploding, which is, as I said, an arrogant approach, an aggressive approach. Not all aggression is coming from a person who's very powerful. Aggression can be from a person who's very weak. and they feel is their only way to express themselves. Think of anger is yet another form of that. Not all anger is coming. I'm not talking about now a legitimate anger against something. And even there, it shouldn't be anger. But that's not a, that's a discussion for another time. But the idea that a person has to be angry or bitter is always masking something else that's going on. Some type of feeling maybe victimized, being hurt. And the way you respond is that anger. Now we can develop this in so many different directions. I want to stick to the theme, stay on the reservation, so to speak. But it applies to everything. It applies to road rage, to actually really hurting other people in the name of your own needs and self-interest. So the interesting, I would say fascinating twist here is that actually humility, and it goes hand in hand with true strengths, that is the opposite of arrogance, meaning a person who has true confidence in themselves is not going to be more arrogant. They're going to be more humble. But it needs work. That needs work. That's why we need to be conscientious about it. That's why we need to be self-aware. This is called introspection. It's called soul-searching, which is the whole point of this conversation. Awareness is half the cure of any problem. So whether you yourself sometimes suffer from a form of arrogance or you see it around you, think about it now with these new, through these new lenses, about what are you seeing here exactly, what you see in that person. Now, that's not so easy, because if the arrogance is being directed at you, you feel victimized, you feel hurt, you feel offended. But if you really want to grow and learn and help the other person, it's important to understand that. And that's not our job to analyze every arrogant person out there. But especially if you're interacting with someone, a family member, a coworker, an employer, employee, you can diffuse it if you start recognizing the humanity within them. And that humanity doesn't know how to express itself. The person may not have been trained. Especially if you have parents, the only way they dealt with their insecurities and fears and ignorance was through arrogance. So it becomes part of your tool chest, part of your repertoire. So when you see that in someone else, keep that in mind. So how do you help someone change their tools, so to speak, their tool chest, their options? So of course, trust is critical. When there's trust, a person opens up more. Now obviously, we cannot change someone who's arrogant and just tell them you're arrogant and here's what you need to do. But if you yourself are dealing with it and you deal with it in a sensitive way, and I've seen it work, you can help someone by not engaging with them. You don't fight fire with fire. Someone that shows aggression, going back to the case study I mentioned, that fellow, and I recognized it as we were sitting, I didn't get into an argument with him. I could have easily said, what do you mean? The text that you're saying is you're incorrectly interpreting it. That would have made him dig in deeper, because he was ignorant and he was hiding his ignorance with his arrogance. So his arrogance would have become stronger the more his ignorance would have been exposed, and he would never accept it. He would just argue and argue. You see people who argue. So I just really was being very kind, being giving, trying to address his issue. You know, he brought up a point. I didn't even let it be a conversation anymore because he wasn't interested in what I had to say. He needed to prove himself. He needed to show that he's smart. Smarter than me, if you wish. And I had no problem. He wants to go away with that conclusion. It wasn't an issue for me. But he was adamant, and at some point he did get frustrated because he realized that he's not going to win me over. He thought he was, but he saw that I wasn't engaging. It's like someone who's trying to go into the ring with you, and you don't punch back. But what ultimately happened was that the volume went down. He realized that I'm not an adversary that's going to fight with him. So he became a little easier. I don't know how much I got through to him, and how much the conversation, but at least it did not explode. It didn't turn into a whole larger fire. There's a word in English for that. So it became a little lonely. It was more of a human conversation. I tried to turn it personal, but it was all because of my awareness of what I'm dealing with here. I don't know why, what he went through in his life, and I felt bad. I don't know what it is. but he needed to learn new tools. So if I had continued working with him and knowing him, I would have shown him other ways without ever addressing it directly. Because if you address it directly, that exactly is the problem. The insecurity, the insecure person does not want to be exposed. The ignorant person doesn't want to be exposed. You know, they say about ignorance that it's better to know nothing about something than half about something. There's an expression, a half a fool is worse than a complete fool. Meaning if you know something, then you convince yourself you know everything. If you don't know, you at least acknowledge I don't know. So humility is also misunderstood. Many people think of it as weakness. You're not speaking up for yourself. You're not defending yourself. You're not stating your opinion. But if you think about it, people who are truly wise and they hear a discussion, they have to make a decision. Sometimes you want to engage, sometimes being quiet. You learn from the greatest teachers. You learn not only from what they said, but what they didn't say, what they refrained from saying. Not because it was controversial necessarily, maybe they felt the student had to learn this on their own. Some things you learn through experience. So it's a wisdom that requires something, knowing when to speak and when to be silent. And that balance is really the key to all relationships. Arrogance is a complete imbalance, just like the opposite. Complete self-abnegation is also a complete imbalance. A human being has to be a combination of a certain element of confidence, but also an element of vulnerability. To use the words of Hillel, the great sage Hillel, Hillel said, "If I am not for myself, who will be for me?" And then he said, "And if I'm only for myself, what am I?" And then he concluded, "If not now, when?" But let's focus on the first two phrases. If I'm not for myself, who will be for me? There has to be an element of self. Your identity can't be defined by other people or by juxtaposition to other people. There's a self. Now, growing up in a healthy home, a healthy environment, that will be encouraged, that will be validated, that will be nurtured, the self, your voice. You say something, you come home from school, your parent, your loved ones will encourage you. And even if it's not always the greatest achievement, but there's just a positive outlook that gives you, that reinforces and builds your confidence. Like it is, think of an athletic coach, a sports coach, or any type of coach, encourages you and moves you on. That builds your confidence. As you build your confidence, you become better at something. Imagine someone's knocked and criticized every time they do something. And unfortunately, many grow up in such homes. That's going to create a lot of insecurity. How are you going to compensate? One of the ways may be arrogance. Maybe other ways as well. Maybe a lot of built-up, pent-up anger, frustration, resentment, which expresses itself in all different ways. Again, symptoms, but all rooted in that lack of nurturing, that lack of confidence that was given to you. On the other hand, Hillel says, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? On the other hand, we're not completely independent people. We are dependent on others. If I am only for myself, what am I? Now, it's interesting. He didn't begin by first saying you're dependent on others. If I'm only for myself, what am I? First, if imena nili mili, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? You've established yourself. Now you realize to be complete, yes, you need those parents. You need those nurturers. You need friends. You need others. So that's the sense of recognizing the humility, that together with the self-confidence, you realize that to succeed in life, you need other people. So someone who says, I don't need anyone, I can do it all myself, it's usually a sign of insecurity again. It's another form of arrogance. So the strength of individuality, of sense of self-confidence and self-esteem actually will dictate that you will be humbler and therefore say, yes, I'm ready to listen to another person because I want to learn from them. Because if I'm only for myself, what am I? So it actually becomes a symbiotic relationship. And if you think about it, look at the human body. Look at nature itself. Every organ, every limb, every part of you, every cell has its identity. And it has to do what it has to do. The heart is not the mind, the liver is not the lungs, and so on. At the same time, they all work together in this harmony, this fascinating harmony. So which one is it? If it's me, if it's all pure, unadulterated individuality, they should never work with each other. Everyone's doing their thing. Live and let live. But you see, no, they work together like a symphony. Different musicians, different song, different parts of the music, different sounds. But it all comes together in one symphony, in one orchestra. It's exactly the words of Hillel. If I'm not for myself, who will be me? Who will be for me? That means you need to do what you have to do when you're playing your music. This organ, this limb is doing its thing. At the same time, you know, to be complete, you need the others that complement you. And it's not a contradiction. In simplistic language, it sounds like it is. You know, either me or I'm connected to others. And you find, again, the imbalance will be either extreme individuality or extreme independence. And you don't depend on anyone else, and you don't want anyone else, and you don't allow them to depend on you. Or the opposite. You disappear as an individual. So each phrase needs the other. You could have, if I'm not for myself, who will be for me? And that's your whole life, depending on others. But then you're missing the first part, the self. On the other hand, if you have the self and you don't have that interdependence, that interconnectivity, you're also not going to be complete. That's the balance, and that's what we need to learn from youngest age, from the youngest of ages. And as we grow older, this is the challenge. So arrogance is actually can become another teacher in life. It teaches us things about ourselves, about others, about how we treat each other. And we're all going to have our challenges. There are always moments. There are always moments you feel you need to prove yourself. When people, let's say, criticize you and you want to show, no, a certain one upmanship, there's a competitive spirit within us, all fine, but it has to be done with balance. And always with the openness of recognizing there's more to the story than just your own narrative. When you can be open to that, then you're open to growth. At the end of the day, people who cannot listen to others, people so self-absorbed in their own arrogant space, people who are narcissists, whether it's diagnosed or not diagnosed, end of the day, they don't realize how much damage they're doing to themselves. They're not letting themselves spread their wings. They think in their delusional way that being this way, this is how I protect myself. But it's just a little scared child that has figured out in a very juvenile fashion how to hold on to their turf. They'll never really experience life. Not their own life and not the life of others. It's not that everything is going well and they're just missing relationship with others. Even they are not being complete. Because insecurity also affects you. It doesn't just affect others. Actually, it affects you more than affects anyone else. So if anyone who's listening to this has that, think about it. I'm not saying this to be critical. Recognizing that you're insecure is not an easy thing to acknowledge. But it's the beginning of real growth. Because then you start looking for things that really give you security and not fake security. Not security that people, oh, look, they all complimented me and I feel good for the moment. You don't really know what people are thinking. Just because people made you feel they honored you doesn't mean they're actually honoring you. And true honor is when people really respect you in the deepest sense of the word. When you don't respect yourself, you really believe others are going to respect you. That's why you keep fighting for it in every possible way. And you're satisfied with the external, the superficial version. But you have plenty to be valued. And it's time to let yourself free from your armor, from your defense mechanisms, from all those forces that trap us. So though arrogance is not an easy topic to speak about, and it's painful and it's harmful, and we know all the negative things that it can, that negative impact it could have, yet it also is a teacher. It teaches us about ourselves, about others. And that's why the Talmud says that somebody who gets angry, which is another form, is a form of arrogance. It's a form of idol worship. Why is it idol worship? Because you're worshiping yourself. You're worshiping your anger. You're worshiping your feelings. Not recognizing maybe there's a bigger plan. Maybe there are things that you don't understand that opens you up to new horizons and new possibilities. So my friends, we live in a world where there are 8 billion beautiful people on this earth, all created in divine image by God. And yet, we ourselves can be our own worst enemies. It's time to release the angel within, to release the flower, the music within. Michelangelo's great line, when he was asked, how do you sculpt those beautiful angels in the marble? And his response, I see the angels trapped in the marble, and I carved and carved and set them free. How beautiful. It's all there, but it gets trapped in marble, the angel, the beauty in your soul, in concrete, in other substances, some very unpleasant ones, but there's an angel in there. And seeing that, sometimes in the depths of arrogance, the depths of obnoxious behavior, is seeing an angel that's trapped and desperate to be released. Our role is to help release it within ourselves and within others. This doesn't mean you have to put yourself in harm's way. That always has to, you have to always protect yourself. You can't get hurt. But once you have that security, you're able to bring that little gentler spirit. And gentleness is much more powerful than all the aggression and all the anger in the world and all the arrogance in the world. So I'm not sure who coined the line that the world will be transformed when the power of love will be stronger than the love of power. Because power is yet another form of masking insecurities. Well, let's conclude on a happy note that we have those angels within us. Let's do whatever we can to unleash that potency, that power. I have dedicated my life to try to help others do that. And the process hopefully did it myself for myself as well. So please join me in this effort in every possible way. Simon Jacobson here, Meaningful Life Center, meaningfullife.com is our website where we produce on a constant basis life skills, materials, videos, articles that address this and other similar topics. They're all about actualizing our great potential, spreading our wings, living a meaningful life, discovering and embracing the unique and indispensable mission for which you were put in this world. Check it out. If these words were meaningful to you, please share with others. Please subscribe to our growing YouTube channel and our other offerings. And of course, love to hear your thoughts, feedbacks, comments, and critique as well. May we all learn and grow from each other and from our cross-pollination. Be blessed and be well. Thank you.
This program is brought to you by the Meaningful Life Center. Please help us continue our programs. Make even a small contribution at meaningfullife.com/donate.